Episode 40 of Four Thomas Matters Radio. This is Mark Collier. Sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. Did you know that one of the nation's top-rated merchant processing companies calls Four Thomas home? It's Omega Processing Solutions, and we're proud to partner with them to bring you this series of informative podcasts. We're talking about the Four Thomas City Council elections. There are 9 selections that you'll be able to have a part of this time. 6 incumbents are running for re-election and 3 challengers. And Omega Processing Solutions is the one that is sponsoring this whole deal. So if you see Scott Anderson, Todd McHugh, Betsy Downard out, please thank them. They'll be happy to hear it. Give them a call, 442-8100, 442-8100, or visit omegap.com. Today on the show, we have John Muller. John is a first-time city council person who was elected in 2014. So this is the first time of the podcast that we're actually going to get to talk to a council person that's been on and served this entire term. We're also going to be able to kind of look back at his op-ed that he wrote in 2014 and see if some of the things that he wanted to accomplish got accomplished. And we'll certainly be able to kind of compare that op-ed in 2014 to the one that he's written for us this year as well. So John Muller will be joining us. And we are right in the middle of this podcast session. We're rolling through it. Tupac, let me know. Let them know. It's time to go. So John Muller now in the Four Thomas Matters Palatial Studio. John, have you been on the podcast before?
One time in the pre-election last year. Studio's fabulous. It's a little better than I remember it.
More bobbleheads.
Many more bobbleheads. Very nice.
So you're a veteran at this. John has been on Four Thomas City Council for a year and 4 months, almost 5 months now. You were a first-time city councilman in 2014. Your op-ed right now is on fourthomasmatters.com at the 2016 election tab, so people can read a little bit more about who you are, what your family is, what your professional life is, but I'm going to give you a little bit of time right now to talk about that briefly. So go ahead, John.
Okay, my wife Terry and I have lived here. We moved to Fort Thomas in the mid-90s, late to mid-90s, and found it and find it a great place to raise a family. I mean, we're really blessed and fortunate to have landed here. So it's been a wonderful place. And we both work in senior living. We work for the company that operates Highlands and Barrington. So we've been that's a lot of fun to be able to get to have something to do with a place you live and work in the same town.
So I want to talk briefly about a couple of things. You're now our third podcast candidate that we've had on, but you're actually the first person that I've got to talk to that has op-ed written for us in 2014. You've served an entire term, almost an entire term, about a term and or a year and a half now. So your first op-ed that you wrote for us, which you can find if you Google just simply probably Four Thomas Matters John Muller, was written for us on July 23rd in 2014, has a lot of the same themes that you brought forth again in 2016. One of them was safety, and that's an issue that I think more than anybody else, more than any other councilman, really you've kind of brought some of that to the forefront right now with the crosswalks. You talked about your time when you were up in Dublin, I think, or mm-hmm. maybe you spoke
two places up there.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that.
Well, and I think it seems like a lot of the council members, that's one of the things we're all focused on is safety and the supporting the fire and police. But walking our city is so pedestrian utilized, and what we're trying to do is make it just a little bit more pedestrian friendly. Because it's a great place to walk, right? Many of us. We've got school age children, as do a few of the other councilmen, and these crosswalks, it's a pretty dangerous situation picking kids up at the high utilization times of the day. And through no fault of the drivers, I really don't think anybody intends to do that. But at many of the locations where there's parked cars on the curb side, then there's the curb lane that it will often yield to somebody coming across the crosswalk. But then the middle lane, they just don't see it. Sure. And they keep going. And so, you know, listening to citizens, a number of my neighbors and the people we go to school with, it's really scary. So I was up in Dublin and actually up in Bowling Green, Ohio as well. So Ohio utilizes these.
You're at your swim meet, right?
Swim meet, both times. How about that? Swim meet both times. Go Highland swim team. In Notre Dame, sorry. Go to Notre Dame.
The pandas,
yeah. One daughter swimming there. These are just really, they're simple devices. They're solar powered. It's really the crosswalk sign we have now, although there's LED that borders it, and it's pedestrian call. So a positive is they don't flash all the time, right? Very neat. It you don't become immune to it. And that's what we have right now, where we've got the flashing strobes already located at
I don't see them.
It's interesting. Most people I ask, that's exactly what you get. And previous administration, but when I tried to bring this up when I first got on council, it was just, you know, we don't want any more flashing lights around town. These are state routes, which that one is turning out to be, you know, it's going to be hard to do. But really, this should remove the constant flashing and allow it to come up to you know, when it's needed, pedestrian calls for it, and hoping really that your medium here, that Fort Thomas Matters, I'm sure we get them, yeah. We'll get this nice and publicized, and what we expect as a community, that we expect each other to honor the crosswalks to enhance all of our safety. So that's in it a nutshell.
So where are we talking about? We're talking about right in front of the high school.
Well, we're talking about a few different phases and working on it with the city administrator, Ron Dill. He's been really, really excited about moving this forward. And right in front of the high school right now, they're finishing up all that remodel.
Sure.
So phase one and phase two have maybe merged a little bit. The central business district is probably where we have the most jurisdiction, right? The city council, and then the city bonded and developed all that.
Right.
So that's probably where we'd do phase one, because that's where the two lane, that's where that curb lane and then the two lanes of, I guess really four lanes of traffic happens most often.
Yeah.
So we'd probably go up to central business district first. Another one that came up in committee and talking about this was in front of Tower Park. That would be a nice, safe place to have one.
Yeah, because I know they did when they did the little at the pocket park right there, right in front of the water tower. They did that little bump out because at that crosswalk right there, they were trying to enhance some safety at that point. Yeah. But it's still, you know, it's a really nice park and people want to go there and you want to make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, and that is one of the mechanisms what I was reading up on. How do you make crosswalks safer?
Is that what you Googled?
A bump out. Well, I Googled it through our work. We happen to work with a traffic engineer that has to study all these. So I called and I brainstormed with him a little bit on what we could do better. Inexpensive, you know, as inexpensive as possible, but also have good quality. And that's where we settled on these particular devices. So now here's the challenge. In Kentucky, they are not a recognized safety device yet. So that's the yet. And I think we should be able to talk to the Department of Transportation and have them consider, because those are state routes we're talking about, have them consider, I think it's called the Uniform Code for Traffic Devices. And so while these are adopted in Ohio, they're not adopted in Kentucky.
We're behind the times here, man.
We're going to get this one. We're going to get this one. So this one just makes too much sense, and for a really inexpensive but quality investment, we'll have a good outcome. And it's certainly not just for the school age kids. Obviously, they're very important, but it's everybody. I was talking to Administrator Dill, and when we were working through this, he said just the other day I had a senior come down here who lives close and wants to walk over to Fifth Third and wanted to walk over to 15 North as well. And she's like, I'm having trouble getting the challenge getting across here.
Can we bring on Judy, Crosswalk Judy on city staff? Can we pay her overtime?
This is where we got to coordinate with the school board. But it's funny, that does play into a little bit of where we choose to place phase one.
Sure.
Because there's many of those crosswalks that the school board already has folks out facilitating safety. So we've thought about Judy.
I just thought of this when you were talking about, previous administrations and then Ron getting super excited about this idea. You're the first person that is going to be able to give some perspective on this. What's it been like? Has there been a marginal difference in working with Don Martin versus Ron Dill?
So I only have a little bit of perspective.
Sure.
Because
he retired when?
Wasn't it? He notified us 4 months in.
Like June?
Yeah. So he retired in June, so that would make sense. About four months in, he notified us, and then he retired at the next meeting. And Don was a wealth of knowledge and a very institutionally – I mean, I don't think there's any other way that he was very sound on where he was coming from. It was thought – he didn't do things without a reason.
Sure.
Nothing was done without a reason. Very thoughtful, very sound in where he was coming from. And, the city's in, I guess, for the number one things you want are safety, to be fiscally healthy, and to provide you quality of life and infrastructure. We're in a great place. So all of that was more than just fine. Ron brings an excitement that maybe that's the marginal difference.
Sure.
He's been here many, many, many years. He could retire as well. Certainly.
And two years he's got. And then, so Eric talked mm-hmm. about that, that excitement too.
Yeah.
That he brought to the job interview because it was a good position. Pays well,
mm-hmm.
city's, pretty sound because of, institutional knowledge like you talked about and past councils making some good decisions. It was a sought after job. I know a lot of people wanted it.
I may be thinking wrong. I think there overall might have been 100 plus applications and narrowed it down to 20. And then that small, the group that Eric put together to work on that narrowed it down even further. And it is a good job, right? Because we're fortunate and blessed. It's a great place.
Yeah.
And Ron, when you bring up an idea, it's a why not? Let's see. Let's look at it and see. Why not? Instead of maybe, well, and I'm guilty of this in my professional life sometimes as well. I've done that before. I've done that before. I tried it before.
Right.
And even though Ron probably has tried it before since he's been with the city so long, definitely a why not.
Stuff changes.
Attitude.
And
And also looking at this new – but Eric probably facilitates that perhaps as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's
with the new mayor as well. Perhaps that's
– And you came on with Eric, so you had no experience with Mayor Brown.
No, not at all. Other than, as I say, the outcomes are – it's certainly a great foundation.
So one of the things, and this is kind of piggybacking on safety and infrastructure that you talked about in 2014, you also talked about in 2016 were improvements to Route 8. That was also listed on the city visioning process. I don't know if you brought that up. You did. You're nodding. Yes, yeah. That was you. I'm going to read a little bit of your op-ed on Route 8 from 2014. So you say that, unfortunately, reality is we in Fort Thomas, as well as Northern Kentucky, send more money to Frankfort than we will ever get back, and we as a city should continue to work with our state legislators to get Route 8 into a transportation plan, as well as other Commonwealth-funded projects, initiatives, and incentives that will benefit Fort Thomas. I have experience with lobbying in Frankfurt and will be a positive advocate for the city. So we are, that was 2014, 2016. In that time period, we had a fatality on there.
Right.
It was a motorcyclist that died on there. They did those temporary fixes again. I looked at the budget. I don't think we got more money for that. Have you spoken with those legislators? I guess we're talking about at this point, Senator Will Schroeder, Representative Joe Fisher.
And Representative Keene.
And Representative Keene,
has two tiny districts, I think, two or three, right?
Down
precincts down there. When I interact with them, which I've done a little bit less this year due to my personal work, I talk about it. I think and perhaps most people do bring it up, say, how can we get Route 8 addressed? This year being a budget year, and probably this year was a pretty significant difference to have the change in the executive branch.
Sure.
So you go from many, many, many years of Democrat to now you got Governor Bevin. That in itself is that's a monumental change in Frankfurt. So this year there wasn't a significant lobbying effort. And I think one of the things that previous to this, you outlined a little bit what we'd be talking about in some of the want-to work-ons in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a great thing also to talk with Roger Peterman about. He's our representative on the South Bank Partners and that consortium.
Okay,
that's the cities.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the South Bank is those five river cities, of which we're one of them. And Route 8 winds through each of them and maybe...
I think Route 8 is the only reason we're in South Bank.
It might be, right? It might be. Although we touch Memorial Parkway slips right down to them.
Yeah.
That is just something that, as I say, I want the visioning plan. And also, that needs to be a consensus thing as well, that we're all uniformly on board to when we go and have, and each of us have interactions with the state that we can get in the transportation plan. And heck, maybe even the crosswalks, because we'll be talking to transportation much more. Route 9 is getting finished right now through Newport.
That's Dennis's. Yeah,
monumental
big time
costs, which we just have to figure out. And that's why I think it's going to be a long plan, but we need to consistently chip away at it.
Going back to 2014, we asked you what specific actions would you take as a council member to ensure continued growth of small, locally owned businesses. You talked about, developing a plan, a competitive analysis plan, tax incentives, having an overall business friendly climate. You said we must look at issue of parking and services that impact decisions of businesses to locate to Fort Thomas. Then in 2016, you say that, that it's the economic development in Fort Thomas has done better. Where are you from 14 to 16 into 17 to 18? What can we do better to help our local businesses? What outside the box ideas have you brought to the table, maybe in the visioning process or maybe just in the Mueller household?
And maybe, I don't know, maybe also just in general support and the tone we take at meetings and the tone we take with interacting with Debbie Buckley and the Renaissance and the Economic Development Board, they're on a roll. I mean, they're in the Fort Thomas Business Association and just hopefully a tenor and a tone that expresses utmost support for their actions.
Sure.
How's that? Rather than, that's another organization doing this, that, and the other. I'm wholly supportive of them. I mean, look at, because I'm wholly supportive of the results, but I am so excited about the results. Debbie is being highly effective at her role, right? And the mayor changed her compensation for that. And we're very supportive of what she's doing. And at her annual report, which was given, there's very few storefronts left right now. Our occupancy is significant in Fort Thomas. There's been numerous openings of businesses. And so I think the primary thing I'm trying to do is tenor, tone, the whole support.
Obviously, to your point, the storefronts are being occupied. Mm-hmm. I think Dan Gorman and David Jose and the revitalization of the Highland Building, that's been very positive. The Midway District, so you have new ownership at the Midway. The Midway's crushing it right now. I don't know.
Dinner there Friday night. Oh, delicious.
How good is the Midway? The Midway is awesome. The pub is now non-smoking. They're stepping up their game. You've got some renaissance on the other side of South Fort Thomas with Pet Once. You've got some new insurance agencies up and down the road. You've got Hair of the Dog right there, too. That being said, what can we do once they're here? Because it seems like, you know, we get in this lull almost. We build them up. We're excited that they're here. And then we get in this, I don't know.
I don't know about the I don't know. Because I understand what you're saying. These particular businesses seem most kind of younger folks in it for the long haul.
Yeah,
particularly the restaurateurs, the Midway and the 15 North. These they're investing
big time.
You know,
big time money.
And it's shown with the old Meyer building, Ashley.
Yeah.
And Brian Shackelford and those
33 folks. North. Yeah.
It's really exciting. So I guess the other question is, what do they need? So let's hear from them. The Fort Thomas business, whatever they need that we can do to facilitate. I mean, in the past, and I've thought of and I've talked about, there's a little known business sale tax in Fort Thomas that is uncapped. So this is a type of thing. Every other municipality in Northern Kentucky caps this thing. Okay. And so
is that an attainable thing? I mean, is it just one of those, are there caps on at the other cities?
Yeah.
Something that those businesses are hitting?
Well, not many people have sold their business. So, and it's not, I don't want to incentivize people to sell their business, but down KLH, Omega, there's some people on the south end of town that are doing a very successful, and that's great, wonderful business. When we talk about being attractive to Fort Thomas, how can we get some more of those businesses? When someone decides to exit, you shouldn't have this sneaky tax kind of, in a way, sneak up on you. And it was never designed for that. All the other municipalities that have it, as I said, all of them have a cap. And this is something we should look at. Just a small, small piece. It won't significantly affect the residents, but it could significantly affect the business owner.
Sure. So. Well, and thanks for plugging Omega Processing Solutions. Once again, the podcast sponsor did not even tell you to do that. Thank you very much for doing that, Mr. Mueller. So you talked about that tax, and not a lot of municipalities have that for whatever reason. Maybe they did at some
point. They have it, but they don't, but they have a cap.
They have a cap.
We're uncapped.
So point being, there's probably a reason that there's a cap, and there's a reason that we did not cap it at one point. Things have probably changed, which is a good segue into the street tax. And as somebody that is, you're the chairman of the finance committee, mm-hmm. The street repair program just passed again unanimously this year. I don't know what the streets are off the top of my head, but
all five of them are what would be considered not primary streets. So
Winding Way, Haywood, I think, Daisy. So at some point, this was the way that we funding mm-hmm. mechanism that we have in Fort Thomas was utilized throughout the Commonwealth and probably in other states too. And for whatever reason, they went away from it. We stayed with it. Mm-hmm. No doubt, like, the given in this situation is streets are, they look good. Most of the streets look good, right?
And yeah, and beyond look good, they're functionally superior than our peers.
And I don't know this for sure. I can only talk about my experiences on North Fort Thomas this year. North Fort Thomas is awesome now. They said the last time they did it, I don't know who the contractor was. I think it was like 19 years ago. Didn't do such a good job. This time they did great.
Good. Good.
I had to cut a significantly smaller check than some of my peers this year. And just as an example, you know what? I got to make a note. I don't think we paid yet. We got to make sure we paid. I know. Or maybe we did. I don't know.
No comment.
It's in the mail. It's in the mail. But our check, the amount that we have to pay is less than two up from us. Mm-hmm. They had a bill of $4,000. Ours was $600. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like one bad part of the system is the inequities that, you know, somebody right next door to each other, or for instance, somebody on a corner lot. Like, I think that's where a lot of these business or cities looked at and just thought, you know, the benefits that they're receiving are the same, but the, you know, they're out of balance in what they're paying for. So at the end of the day, we got to pay for the streets.
Right.
We're going to pay for it, whether it's, you know, a paper cut or a gash. We've got to take some blood from us in the form of taxes. That's either a franchise fee or that's a you know, road aid fund / mm-hmm. assessment. Where do you come down on this? Obviously, you're the finance chairman. You look at it. You're on Public Works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're on Finance and Public Works.
I get both of them, yes.
So probably have better perspective on this than anybody else. Where are you on this, John Mueller?
So I have given this one a lot of thought. And Mayor Haas explains this very well. And what you say is right. Look, you got to pay for them. The infrastructure is one of the things the city does, right? You have to pay for it. So if it's by gash or by paper cut, as you describe it, or whatever means you're going to use, the city uses a special assessment based on a direct benefit received. And I believe there is a direct benefit received. When you get new infrastructure right in front of your home, sidewalks are in quote unquote included, curbs, all the work they do. I think it's an interesting program that.
And by the way, not to cut you off, I widened my driveway this year.
Mm-hmm.
They flattened a part of my apron for me.
Good.
No cost. Keep going. It's an interesting program is the last thing that you said.
Yeah, it is. And I think sidewalks are one of the reasons we moved to Fort Thomas. I don't know why growing up.
Sidewalks?
Honest to God. I didn't have sidewalks growing up, and I'm an extremely mobile person, whatever. and I was enthralled that almost everything here is sidewalked. And it's one of the things about we use the word in the visioning process, connectivity. Administrator Dill. You know, I was talking about the safety. I was talking about the, you know, pedestrian safety and how can we connect Route 8 and all this stuff that would make us better connected. And he said, we need a connectivity plan. So that's that idea. But it goes back to sidewalks. So the people on North Fort Thomas, I am a huge advocate that safe routes to school grant be successful. And however I and we can help that get done, we are – whatever I can do, I'll help to do it. But back to the roads. Let's talk about the roads, and let's talk about some similarly situated cities to us in northern Kentucky. And you might say that Fort Mitchell is similar to us. You might say Edgewood is similar to us. You might say Villa Hills is similar to us. When people did away with that, when they quit utilizing the special assessment over the years, you have to get it somewhere else. So The program this year is neat because each of these five roads, the youngest of them The youngest of them is 22 years old.
The whole street?
The whole street. The youngest road we're replacing, and I think it might be Daisy, is 22 years old. The oldest road is 28 years old. So think of the value you've got, you're getting here. 22 to 28 years, okay? The mechanism that Fort Mitchell uses, they did away with the assessment, but they went to a tax. You're going to get a tax every year. Everybody, their particular, they use 60 cents per thousand, okay? 60 cents per thousand. Average house in Fort Thomas, 184,000. So you're going to pay about 110 bucks a year. So let's just say that youngest road that's 22 years old here.
Right.
I've already looked at the projected estimate. That's going to be 600 bucks. Okay, 680 some bucks for the average lot
right
on there. Okay, if we go a pound of flesh, right? If we go to that, that homeowner is going to pay $2,200 in taxes over their 22 years.
2420.
What's that?
So 110 times 22.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to pay, okay, let's say you're going to pay in excess of 2,000 bucks.
Right.
For what our system, as it has existed, is going to charge you 680 for.
What that's our average is 680
of this year's program.
Of this year's program.
Okay. However, you typically, which is not every time, and this is one of the challenges. It's not every time, but typically, if the home is valued higher, let's just say that's 60 cents per thousand.
Right.
They likely have more frontage.
Sure.
That may be safe to say. So one of the streets we're doing is Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett's got
a lot of frontage
on
a lot Barrett, of front, yeah. lot of frontage. So you could do it. Fort Mitchell does a direct line item road tax.
Fort Mitchell, though, I think Dixie Highway takes up a lot of. Do they pay on Dixie Highway?
I don't know the answer to that. So
my wife is from Fort Mitchell, and I always just tell her all it is Dixie Highway. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I bet she takes exception to that.
Well, I'm sure. Hopefully we don't have people that are listening from this.
So that's one method. And then the other method, I think it was Villa Hills or Edgewood. I have to check. What they did when we bonded the parks, okay, so when city council, because rates were low and capital was accessible, they took out $1 million and redid their roads. But that gets paid back. And what's going to happen to them is in 20 years, all those roads are going to come due again. So even though this system is not ideal, I do not like the idea of a franchise fee.
That was my next question.
Because of the similar thing to the road tax, of the direct road tax. I think in the long view, the payer of the franchise fee, which is I think most fees in my mind are sneaky taxes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, a fee and a tax is the same thing.
So we're just going to – I don't think you should just tax everybody. I don't know that you should just raise it on everybody every year when – and I agree with you. Some case – there are some outliers in the current system.
See, I think
– But the franchise fee – I don't know. God, this sounds terrible. It might be a little more so, you know, am I taking just a little bit more out of everybody
right.
rather than, look, these roads last, in this cycle, 22 to 28 years. Most people, Barrett's are a little higher, but most of the other four streets are about 600 to 700. That's for a 20-year investment in your street.
It's doable.
That's actually pretty good. Value. And the interesting thing about the program, one more thing about the program,
I don't think
it gets described quite right because it says 50-50 or 60-40. I would be willing to look at and is maybe those primary artery roads, perhaps they go to 75-25, something like that, even 65-35. They do have higher use. They get tank buses. That's probably not unreasonable to look at maybe doing something different than that. But the program is the 60-40 or the 50-50 of asphalt only. Of asphalt only. So the homeowner is paying 50 or 60% of the asphalt, not concrete. So Churchill Drive is a good example. The road is a $1 million road. The resident paid a whole cost. The resident paid 19% of that street.
Right.
Okay, so it's not 60, it's not 50-50, it's not 60-40. What they paid was 19% of that cost. And that road, think of the drastic benefit received and improvement there. So it lets us, it's very systematic. The city does a good job. They rank the roads. We've actually ranked them out 3 years ahead of time. You coordinate, as you experienced here on North Fort Thomas, you coordinate, and the coordination with the utilities is so much better than it used to be. And maybe that's part of what you had heard about experience last time. So we were able to coordinate with the sewer system to get that road in, coordinate with them. So the system, it may be quirky. But when you look at the value and a franchise fee, okay, now I'm taxing everybody when I don't need to. I don't need to. I can just go, we can go systematically around the city, come up with a system. These are good contractors, as you experience. There's some skin in the game, which you're going to have skin in the game anyway. But right. Now, but you don't even know it's skin. It's skin flakes. It's whatever. But now you've got a direct benefit received for the thing you paid. Maybe we can do a better job telling the story about it so people do, like escrow, so they aren't hit with a $1,000 bill or a $600 bill. Maybe we need to get that out better, that, hey, put a little bit back.
Right.
This is going to, you know, you're going to come due.
Well, that might be one thing. Like, and I know the streets are done in three-year terms, for more or less. You know about when it's coming up. Mm-hmm. And I know that the city, at least in the last couple of years, has kind of done a little bit of, hey, by the way, these are the streets we're looking at last year. But for instance, like, I know Vernon was on that list last year, and now it's not even on the agenda for 2017.
That is purely waiting on SD1 to finish their work. So it's on the... It is definitely on the list, and God knows it needs it. I turn around there the days I take to school. We're coming for you, Vernon. But that's just waiting to coordinate, because SD1 is going to do significant work, as I understand, down there. And then we want to come in and cap.
Hopefully they don't do anything to that gym right in the middle of the Vernon Swim Club, which you would find Councilman Jeff Beazled at.
Cannon bowling in the summer.
Hopefully they leave that where Jeff does
his diving routine.
No. So one of the things that I think would be helpful, though, and it helped me, because I saw some projections. They did, this was when Don Martin was the city administrator. He had done a unscientific study about franchise fees, right? And in Fort Thomas, we pay almost nothing. And to clarify, a franchise fee is something that Duke Energy pays the city for. And then on the back end, they charge their customers, us homeowners, that same percentage. So basically it's the city taxing Duke and then Duke taxing us.
Right.
We pay 0.03%. The unscientific study that Don Martin did and staff did in 2015, so I was at the beginning of 2015, showed that the majority of it was upwards of 3 to 4 to even up to 5% that Duke Energy was paying a franchise fee, which then those customers and those municipalities and cities were paying that same thing. The projections that I saw showed that if we were to do away with the special assessments, to come up with the road aid fund being one component of the funding mechanism, and the franchise fee being the other. The projections that I saw had us at going from 0.03, which is, again, almost nothing, to 1.25. So it would be still lower than almost every other city in Northern Kentucky, and it would still pay for that component, that second half of that road aid fund. I just think that, and maybe this is just, you know, city council doing a better job of letting that information known, but I think it's a doable figure to look at the 1.25 franchise fee and to at least have that discussion. And I think from the last time we talked about it, it just kind of seemed to me like it got lost a little bit. There were no really committee meetings about it. When we asked City Administrator mm-hmm. Dill, he just said it was kind of one of those things where council didn't want to take it up. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would think that it would be a good measure next year to take a good hard look at actual numbers, as opposed to, and I've heard Eric's spiel too mm-hmm. about why we do this, and it has to do with, you know, a math whiz came and did these Excel sheets, and he was very smart, and he told us that this, the way that we did it, was the best way. And I just don't know, that just doesn't jive with me as a taxpayer.
So I don't disagree with that. I think back to other systems that use other methods, and I don't, those other municipalities, and I have not seen that, what Don produced. So right. I don't know. He didn't share it on a committee that I was on or in a forum.
How is this
that
media
in.
Guy getting all this stuff that the council members?
You're very thorough. You're very thorough, and you do a really good job. And that's the truth. You can use a franchise fee. I guess what I'm kind of philosophically against raising everybody's taxes
sure.
for a direct benefit received by, at the time, and for the next number of years, the homeowner themselves. So, which is, but it's a different way to skin the
we have actually raccoon. Nobody is listening to this anymore. Yeah. We have.
So let's keep going.
We have nerded out everybody that is listening to this right
so
now.
So you could have a franchise fee. You could have a separate road tax similar to Fort Mitchell. We could take out a loan and repair them all, or, you know, we can continue with the method.
Thank you. I enjoy these conversations. I like this kind of stuff. So I'm going to give you a couple quick ones real quick.
Okay.
We need to wrap this up. I know you need to get back to work. Who are three people that you talk to? I guess first off, were you always going to run again? Was there ever an indecision point?
No, I intended to run again.
So
I intended to run again.
I guess going back then into 2014, before you ran, who were three people in the city, not your wife, not your family, that you asked some advice for about running, whether or not you should run?
Oh, I think I who did I even express the initial interest to? And I'm pretty sure it was Bob Heil. And I've just met Bob over the years, and very, very nice guy. Very
KLH.
Guy.
He's yeah. Fort Thomas through and through.
Yeah. So I mentioned it to him, and he mentioned it to Bob. He says, "Oh, wow, that's a good. I didn't know you were interested. That'd be let's see if
let's
that's
go
a
to
good
Bob
idea."
Evans. Did you go let's to go Bob? To
no, we didn't. We went to a different restaurant. It was in Covington, a very high class, very nice establishment.
Yeah,
but
Then
I talked to Tom Lampe, and I know of Tom, but I'd never really interacted much with Tom before. And he kind of told me about, generally about, council. And then I came up and I watched a couple more than probably much more actively than I had before.
Sure.
I think probably just bits and pieces of a lot of other people.
So you invested some time watching council as an outsider, as just a constituent as well.
I always read the Fort Thomas Matters. Whoa. I'd always done that before. And yes, okay. I'd I've been interested in.
So you, years. One thing I've been impressed with you, you've had a perfect attendance record. And yes, I do take attendance for city council, whether people know this or not. I feel like at the bare minimum, that's the least you can do. Show up, right? Who said showing up is 90% of it? Was that Yogi Berra or something like that? Would you pledge to, barring, you know, an emergency, a family emergency, would you pledge to at least come to every council meeting as scheduled next term?
Yeah, that's a pledge I hope I showed I'm serious about, and absolutely. Barring any family
sure
things, absolutely.
We're in an elevator together. We don't know each other. We've got 20 seconds. I need you. You want my vote? How do I get it? How do you get it? Go. Oh, 20 seconds now.
Can I have your vote? So I'm not.
You got to ask for the order.
I know. I'm not good at this. But we enjoy infrastructure, safety, quality of life. That's what I'm all about. I'm a listener. I want to use my skills, as noted in there, husband, father, healthcare executive, and make this, continue to make this an excellent place to live.
John Mueller, thanks for being on the show. You can see John Mueller's introduction op-ed on FortThomasMatters.com. Just click the tab at the top of the page. John, how can people connect with you? You've got your email and your phone number on the city website, right?
It's on the city website, and I've got a Gmail account that links to as well. So if you want to use those, the phone, 56 Fisher Lane, come by and see me, no problem.
Terry,
she's supportive of this whole thing. We live here, and as we said, we love being good neighbors.
God bless Fort Thomas, Kentucky. John Mueller, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Omega Processing Solutions. You can always find our downloads on iTunes or FortThomasMatters.podbean.com. Usually, if you're on iTunes, it's really easy to subscribe. Please do that. That helps us be seen more. Our downloads are doing really, really good, but they can always do better. And our sponsor, Omega Processing Solutions, thanks so much for making it happen.